Thank you very much, Desmond, and good to be here again. Time is flying by. Seems like you get here and you turn around and you're ready to go home again. But it's been great. The computer has been slow to bring up some names that I put in it, but we're getting there, and it's just been great to get to know you and fellowship with you. Now, let's turn to Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 through 28. Here we're going to see another thing we have to do if we're going to live like citizens of heaven on earth, and that is exercise great faith. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. It was a little after April in the year 29 A.D. Jesus was in the midst of his retirement ministry, which started in April of 29 A.D. and went to October of that same year. Now, this wasn't called the retirement ministry of Jesus because he retired from the ministry the way we retire from work. This was called the retirement ministry of Jesus because he retired from the crowds in order to be alone with his disciples to give them special instruction he wanted them to have before he left them to go back to the Father. In order to give them that special instruction, he left Capernaum, which had been his headquarters during his great Galilean ministry, and he went in a northwesterly direction up to the very borders of Syrophoenicia, of which Tyre and Sidon were the two principal cities. Syrophoenicia was a very wicked nation. Idolatry was found on every hand, and immorality was rampant in that land. Yet in that land that was so steeped in heathenism had come a knowledge of Jesus the Messiah. How did that happen? It happened like this. When Jesus gave the Sermon on the Mount, which we have been looking at, there were people from Tyre and Sidon in his congregation. We are told that in Luke chapter 6, verse 17. Those people heard a message from Jesus such as they had never heard before. Then they saw Jesus do things that they could scarcely believe. They saw Jesus take people who were sick and heal them on the spot. They saw Jesus take people who were demon-possessed and cast those demons out of them. When those people went back to Syrophoenicia, they just couldn't keep that to themselves. They told others about it, and news about Jesus the Messiah spread like wildfire throughout that land. In that land there lived a certain woman. We're not given her name. By nationality, she was a Syrophoenician. By religion, she was a Gentile. And it was this woman that came out of Syrophoenicia into Galilee, where Jesus then was, who exercised such faith in him regarding a need that she had, that Jesus said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it unto thee even as you will." And it's the faith of that woman that I want to talk to you about this morning, with the prayer that as a result of our study of this passage, when we have a need, that we will exercise that same faith that this woman exercised in the Lord Jesus, so that he will say to us, just like he said to that woman, "O man, O woman, O boy, O girl, great is your faith. Be it unto thee even as you will." Now, as we look at the great faith of this woman, I have four O's. Now that's the letter O that I want you to remember to help you to remember what we are told about the great faith of this woman. O number one, the occasion of her faith. The occasion of her faith was the demon possession of her daughter. Now look at verse 22. In the last part of the verse, she says to Jesus, "My daughter is grievously vexed with a demon." Here was a mother who had a daughter, and she loved her very much. She was her own flesh and blood. But her daughter was demon-possessed. Now, this mother had done every single thing possible to free her daughter from that demon possession, but nothing worked. And it was the demon possession of her daughter that constituted the occasion for her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And just as this woman had an occasion for faith, so you and I will have occasions for faith as well. Some time ago, I spoke at a church in DeLand, Florida, in the U.S. When the service was over, a young man came up to me. His wife was the organist in the church. And he said, during the service, the Lord burdened his heart to go into the gospel ministry. He said he would like to talk to me about it. And so we agreed to meet that next Saturday morning for breakfast. We met for breakfast. He told me that the Lord had burdened his heart to go into the gospel ministry and that he felt he should go to seminary. I said, well, if you go to a seminary, make sure you go to a Bible-believing seminary. And I said, if the Lord should lead you to biblical, we would be glad to have you. We agreed to pray about it. Monday, he called me on the phone, and he said, I'm convinced the Lord wants me to go to seminary. I'm convinced he wants me to go to biblical, and I'm convinced he wants me to go this year. That meant that he had less than a month to get ready to go to seminary. He had less than a month to sell his home, resign from his position where he worked, move his family 1,000 miles up north, find a place to live, find a job, get his children in Christian school, and be ready for seminary when it started. Now, I would say that is an occasion for faith, wouldn't you? Well, he exercised his faith. He put his faith in the Lord. The next Wednesday, just 2 days later, I was to speak at the Christian businessman's breakfast. He was there. When he came in, his face was beaming. He said, guess what? I put my house up for sale Monday. It's sold already. And this wasn't a good time for selling homes. He resigned from his position. He moved his family 1,000 miles up north, found a place to live, got a job, got his children in Christian school, and there, when the seminary year started, he was ready to begin his seminary training for the gospel ministry. Now, just as that young man had an occasion for faith, so you and I will have occasions for faith. It may be that you're faced with a severe financial situation. You know, it's amazing. Bills never seem to be late coming. Did you ever notice that? They're always on time. And these bills keep coming in. And maybe you're looking at those bills and you say, how am I going to meet my financial obligations? I just don't see how I can. It is an occasion for faith. Or maybe there's a loved one that you have, and that loved one is not walking with the Lord, and your heart aches for that loved one. You want so much for that loved one to walk with the Lord, but instead of walking with the Lord, that loved one seems to be getting farther and farther away from the Lord. It is an occasion for faith. Now, the Syrophoenician woman's occasion was for faith was the demon possession of her daughter. you and I will have occasions for faith as well. They will be different than hers, but they will be occasions for faith. Now notice the next O with me, and that is the object of her faith. The object of this woman's faith was Jesus, the Messiah. Why? Because she was convinced that he could do what she wanted him to do. Now look at verses 21 and 22. Then Jesus went from there, that is from Capernaum, which had been his headquarters during his great Galilean ministry, and departed. Now that word into would be better translated unto the borders of Tyre and Sidon. Tyre and Sidon were the two principal cities of Syrophoenicia. Now look at verse 22. And behold. Now Matthew puts that word behold in under the control of the Holy Spirit, because what he is about to say is a remarkable thing. He says, behold, a woman of Canaan. Do you remember who the Canaanites were? Remember when Joshua went into the land of Canaan? He was ordered to exterminate the Canaanites. Every single Canaanite was to be killed. None of them was to be left alive. Israel didn't obey the Lord, and some were left alive. And this woman was a descendant of that pagan race that the Lord had ordered exterminated, wiped out of existence. Now notice, she came to Jesus, and notice what she said. She cried unto him. She was in dead earnest in what she said, saying, have mercy on me. Now watch this. O Lord. She recognized that Jesus was fully God. Watch what else she says. Thou son of David. She recognized that according to his human nature, Jesus descended from David. Here is this woman recognizing Jesus as the Messiah. Do you remember what we read in John 1:11? Jesus came unto his own, and what did his own do to him? Received him not. They wouldn't recognize him as the Messiah. And yet here is a descendant of a pagan race that the Lord had ordered exterminated, and she is doing what the Lord's own people wouldn't do. She's recognizing Jesus as the Messiah. Now notice, she says unto him, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. And here's why she wants him to have mercy on her. My daughter is grievously vexed with a demon. This woman wanted Jesus to have mercy on her by casting that demon out of her daughter. Now I want you to notice that this woman put her faith in a person, in Jesus the Messiah. How different this is from the way the world talks today. Today you hear the world talk and they'll say, if you just have faith that things will work out, if you just believe things will work out, things will work out. Well, let me ask you something, folks. How are things supposed to work out just because you believe it? How are things supposed to work out just because you have faith that they'll work out? That's not going to make them work out. If you're going to have things work out, you've got to put your faith in a person who can make those things work out. And that's what this woman did. She put her faith in Jesus, the Messiah, because she was convinced that Jesus could do what she wanted him to do. This woman was very practical. That's why I like her so much. She reasoned this way. Jesus cast out demons before. He can do it again. That's pretty sound reasoning. And she was convinced that Jesus could do it. And that's why she put her faith in him, a person, to do it. And just as Jesus was the object of this woman's faith, so he is to be the object of our faith today. And the interesting thing, folk, is this. When you and I make Jesus the object of our faith, when we trust Him, when we have an occasion for faith, listen, there's not one single thing for which we can trust Him that He cannot do. I want to put my faith in a person like that. You see, Jesus is the Messiah. He's fully God and fully man. And when we have an occasion for faith and we put our faith in Him, there's not one single thing for which we can trust Him that He cannot do. He'll come through for us every time if it is His will. Some time ago, I spoke at a New Year's Eve service in New Smyrna Beach, Florida. Earlier that day, the men had come and they got everything ready for the service that night. They went home, and one of the men was cutting some wood. But as he was cutting some wood, he cut off something else by mistake. He cut off his finger. And so they took the man to the hospital along with the finger. The doctor reattached that finger. We prayed to Jesus for that man that night. We prayed, if it be the will of the Lord Jesus, that He would cause that finger to be healed so that man could use it again. Now, were we asking Jesus to do something He couldn't do? No way. You see, Jesus made that finger. He understood that finger better than the doctor who reattached it. He used that doctor to reattach it. But He understood that finger better than the doctor who reattached it. And when we asked Jesus to do that, we were asking Him to do something that He was able to do. And praise the Lord, it was His will on this occasion for that finger to be reattached, and that man had full use of that finger again. Now, Jesus is to be the object of our faith. When we have occasions for faith, and we will have them, Jesus is to be the object of our faith. We are to put our faith in Him. Why? Because He is able to do whatever it is that you and I trust Him to do. Oh, number three, the obstacles to this woman's faith. Now, there were three obstacles to this woman's faith, and I want you to see each one with me. The first obstacle is this. It is the apparent refusal of Jesus to grant this woman's request the first time. Now watch what happens in verse 22. This woman comes to Jesus and she cries unto Him. She's in dead earnest. Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a demon. She asked Jesus to have mercy on her by casting that demon out of her daughter. Now look at verse 23. But He, Jesus, answered her not a word. Here's this woman asking Jesus to do something that Jesus is fully able to do. But He doesn't answer her a word when she makes her request. He remains silent. He didn't say, I'll talk to you about this later. I'll take care of this matter later. Not a single word. But you know what Jesus did? Now look up here. Jesus turned on His heels without saying a word to that woman and walked away. That almost seems rude, doesn't it? But that's what Jesus did. You say, how do you know that? Because at the end of verse 23, it says, she crieth after us. She couldn't have cried after them unless Jesus and the disciples had walked away. Now put yourself in the shoes of that woman. Here she comes to Jesus. She asks Jesus to cast that demon out of her daughter. And Jesus, without saying a word to her, turns on His heels and walks away. That woman very easily could have said, He's not interested in me. He's not going to do anything for my daughter. I might as well turn around and go back home. It's just wasting time trying to talk to Him. But she didn't do that. You know why? Because she had an old-fashioned thing called faith. And because she believed that Jesus could give her what she wanted. When Jesus turned on his heels and walked away, she cried after him. Now here's Jesus walking down that street in Galilee with the disciples. And here's this woman right behind him crying out, "O Lord, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is grievously vexed with a demon. O Lord, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is grievously vexed with a demon." Now, many times, folk, you and I will have an occasion for faith. And we'll put our faith in the proper object. We'll put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll go to Him and we will make our need known to Him. But when we pray, nothing happens. There's nothing but silence from heaven. And you know what we do many times? We get discouraged and we quit praying. We say, "There's no use to pray. I prayed and prayed about this. Nothing but silence. No answer to my prayer. I might as well quit praying." Do you know what that says about your faith? It says that you don't really believe Jesus can do what you're asking Him to do. Because if you really believed it, like that Syrophoenician woman did, you wouldn't stop praying. The fact that you stop praying proves that you don't really believe that Jesus can do what you're asking Him to do. Now notice the second obstacle to this woman's faith. The second obstacle is the apparent refusal of Jesus to grant the requests of His own disciples in her behalf. Now picture the scene. Jesus and the disciples walking down this street in Galilee. This woman right behind yelling out, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou Son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." With a demon. Now notice what the disciples say to Jesus. Verse 23, "And His disciples came and besought Him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us." You can see those disciples. Now Lord, You came here to be alone with us, to give us some special instruction before You went back to the Father. Now, with this woman yelling out like she is, everybody in town's going to know you're here, and you know what happens when people know you're here. They're going to flock around you, and we're not going to have any time alone with you like you had planned. You came here for this purpose. So send her away. Lord, You can cast that demon out. You've done it before. We've seen You do it. Just go ahead and do it. Send her away, for she crieth after us. Now, I can just see that woman. When she hears this, her spirit soars. She thinks to herself, these people are close to Jesus. If He's going to do it for anybody, He's going to do it for them. But notice what Jesus answers. We see the answer that Jesus gives. He says in verse 24, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Jesus says to His disciples, look, I was sent to minister to the Jewish people, to Israel. This woman is a Gentile. What's the conclusion? I'm not sent to minister her. Apparently, Jesus rejected the request of His own disciples on this woman's behalf. He wouldn't cast out that demon. Now, this woman, when she heard that, she could have thought to herself, these people are close to Jesus. If He's not going to do it for them, why should I think He'd ever do it to me? If He's not going to do it to them, He certainly won't do it to me. I might as well turn around and go back home. But she didn't do that. You know why? Because she had an old-fashioned thing called faith, F-A-I-T-H. And because of that old-fashioned thing called faith, she went into a house where Jesus was. She prostrated herself before Him And notice what we read in verse 25. Then came she and worshipped him, prostrating herself before him, saying, Lord, help me. See, she didn't waste time with a lot of words. Three words. Lord, help me. I heard you say you're sent to Israel. But Lord, you can do what I'm asking. Lord, help me. Help me by casting that demon out of my daughter. Now, folk, many times we'll have an occasion for faith. We'll go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to meet that occasion. But there's nothing but silence from heaven. But we'll overcome that obstacle. We'll keep praying. Then we'll go to some real prayer warriors. People who always seem to get answers to their prayers. And we'll share our requests with them. Please pray with me. And we think, these people always get answers to their prayers. Now, if the Lord's going to answer any prayer, He's going to answer their prayer. But the Lord doesn't answer their prayer. And so we get discouraged and say, if He's not going to answer their prayer, He's certainly not going to answer my prayer. And so we stop praying. What does that say about our faith? It says that we really don't believe Jesus will give us what we're asking Him to give. Because if we did, we wouldn't stop praying. That woman didn't stop. She persisted. And if we have the kind of faith that that woman had, we'll do the same thing. Now look at obstacle number three. The apparent refusal of Jesus to grant this woman's request a second time. Now I want you to picture it. Here is a broken-hearted mother, perhaps with tears trickling down her cheeks, having prostrated herself before Jesus, asking Jesus to help her by casting that demon out of her daughter. Look at Jesus' reply to her. Look at verse 26. But He answered and said, It is not right to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Now look up here. The illustration is this. Here is a table. There are children seated around that table. There is food on that table. And there is the Father. Jesus is saying, it's not right for that Father to take the food on that table away from those children and to give it to dogs. That picture is pretty clear, isn't it? Now, in that illustration, the children around the table represent the people of Israel. The food on the table represents Jesus' public ministry, of which casting out demons was a part. The Father represents Jesus, and the dogs represent whom? That Syrophoenician woman. Now, what is Jesus saying? He is saying, just as it's not right for a father to take food on the table away from his children so that they don't have it and give it to dogs, it's not right for me to take my public ministry, of which casting out demons is a part, away from the Jewish people and give it to the Gentiles. What was he doing? Apparently, he was refusing to grant this woman's request a second time. But on the surface, he seems to be doing something else as well. What did he call this woman who was prostrated, kneeling at his feet? He called her a dog. Would you want somebody to call you a dog? That's what Jesus called this woman. Now, when Jesus did this, this woman could have said, I've had it. I came to Jesus. I asked Him to cast this demon out of my daughter. Without saying a word, he turns on his feet and walks away. But I overcame that obstacle. I cried after him. And then when the disciples of Jesus asked him to cast that demon out, and apparently he refused to do it. I humbled myself. I prostrated myself at his feet and said, Lord, help me. And then when I did that, what does he do? He refuses to help me a second time and insults me by calling me a dolt. I've had it. I'm out of here. I'm going home. Now listen, folks. There are times when you and I go to the Lord in prayer, and we pray and we ask the Lord to answer our prayer. There's silence from heaven, but we overcome that obstacle. We keep on praying. We share our prayer requests with others. The Lord doesn't answer their prayer. We overcome that obstacle. We keep on praying. But then as we keep on praying, things don't get better. They get worse. Did you ever notice that? Sometimes when you keep praying, things get worse. They deteriorate. And we say, what's the use? The Lord's not going to answer my prayer. We stop praying. What does that say about your faith? It says you really don't believe that Jesus will answer your prayer and do what you're asking him to do. Now, this woman had faith. Now, what did this woman do when Jesus apparently refused to grant her request a second time and on the surface seemed to call her a dog? You see, this woman had an old-fashioned thing called faith. And it was that faith that saw in what Jesus said the ray of hope that he was holding out to her. She wouldn't have seen it if she didn't have faith. But because she had faith, she saw the ray of hope that Jesus was holding out to her. And that ray of hope was found in the word that Jesus used for dogs. He didn't use the word for dogs that refers to those eastern savage dogs that roamed the streets of Palestine that the people hated. You know the word he used for dog? It was the household pet. And when that woman heard Jesus say, it is not right to take the children's bread and cast it to the household pets, her eyes lit up like a light bulb. And she heard that, her eyes light up, and notice what she says here in verse 27, truth, Lord. Lord, you just called me a dog. You never saw a woman in your life who was more thrilled and excited and glad to be called a dog. Would you want somebody to call you a dog? She was delighted. She was elated. Truth, Lord. Lord, I'm a dog. I'm a household pet. Now watch what she says. She says, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Lord, in that illustration that you just used, now, the father is not to take the food from the children and give it to the household pets so they don't have any. But as the children eat that food, there are crumbs that fall off that table onto the floor. And the household pet is entitled to that, to those crumbs. And Lord, you just said, I was the household pet and I'm entitled to those crumbs. And all I want is a crumb of your public ministry. I'm not asking you to take it away from the Jews and give it to me. I just want a crumb of it. And you said I'm entitled to a crumb. And so, Lord, I want you to give me that crumb. I want you to cast that demon out of my daughter. You see, it was her faith that saw that. And that's what we need to keep in mind. Now, notice the final O, and that is the outcome of her faith. You know what it was? She got what she wanted. Now look at verse 28. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is your faith. Why? Because when she came to Jesus and asked Jesus to cast that demon out of her daughter, and Jesus, without saying a word, turned on his heels and walked away, what did she do? She cried after him. That's why her faith was great. O woman, great is your faith. Why? Because when I, Jesus, apparently refused to grant the request of my own disciples in your behalf, what did this woman do? This woman went into the house where Jesus was, prostrated herself at the feet of Jesus, and prayed, Lord, help me. I heard what you said, that your ministry is to Israel, but I believe you can do what I'm asking. I'm asking you to do it. Oh, woman, great is your faith. Why? Because when I apparently refused to grant your request a second time and on the surface seemed to be insulting you, it was your faith that saw in the word I used for dogs the ray of hope that I was holding out. And it was that faith that caused you to claim the blessing that I had in store for you all along. And so he says to this woman, O woman, great is your faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. I can see Jesus looking at that woman and saying, now, what was it that you wanted? She said, you know, Lord, what I want. I want you to cast that demon out of my daughter. And notice what happened. Jesus cast the demon out. Now watch. Jesus didn't go to her house where her daughter was. He was at a distance, but he cast that demon out of her daughter. And watch the last part of the verse. And her daughter was made well from that very hour. When that woman went home, her daughter was free from the demon possession. And just as that woman had the outcome of her faith to be that she got what she wanted, so the outcome of our faith will be we'll get what we want, now listen carefully, when it is the will of the Lord Jesus to do it. Now some things we ask the Lord, it is always His will to give. For example, if we ask the Lord Jesus to give us wisdom about how to conduct ourselves in the midst of the trials of life, it's always His will to give us wisdom. But listen, He's not going to give it to us, even though it's always His will to give it to us, unless we have this kind of faith. Now, sometimes it's the will of the Lord Jesus to give. And sometimes it's not. One of those things is physical healing. Now you must realize it's not the Lord's will to heal everybody, otherwise nobody would ever die. But the Lord is able to heal. But if it is His will to heal a person, and we don't exercise this kind of faith, the Lord is not going to answer our prayer and heal that person. James states it very clearly in James chapter 1, verse 7. Let not that man who doesn't have this kind of faith, think or suppose or be of the opinion that he will receive anything from the Lord. If you and I are going to receive anything from the Lord, we have to have this kind of faith. And if we do, and it's the will of the Lord to give it to us, where is Jesus now? At the right hand of God the Father Almighty. See, He has a physical body right there. You realize, don't you? His resurrected body, that's where He is. But what the Lord Jesus will do is just like He did for this Syrophoenician woman. He was at a distance from her daughter when He cast the demons out. He'll be at a distance from us, but He'll give us what we want in answer to our prayer, if it's His will, and if we have this kind of faith. Here then we see the great faith of this Syrophoenician woman. We see the occasion for her faith, the demon possession of her daughter. We see the object of her faith, Jesus the Messiah, because she was convinced that Jesus could give her what she wanted. We see the obstacles to her faith, the apparent refusal of Jesus to grant this woman's request the first time, the apparent refusal of Jesus to grant the request of His own disciples in her behalf, and the apparent refusal of Jesus to grant this woman's request a second time. And then the outcome of her faith, she got what she wanted because it was the will of the Lord Jesus for her to have it. Once there was a couple, and they wanted a child very, very much. They went to the Lord in prayer, and they prayed for a child, and they prayed for a child. But there was only silence from heaven. No child. But they overcame that obstacle. They kept praying. And then they went to some friends who were real prayer warriors. They said, "Won't you pray with us regarding this matter?" They agreed to. And they prayed, but still no answer to prayer. No child was born to that family, that husband and wife. But they overcame that obstacle. They kept praying. And as they kept praying, things seemed to deteriorate. No matter what they tried, it didn't work. They didn't have a child. But they overcame that obstacle. They kept praying. And after 6 long years, the Lord gave that couple a child. You know what the mother called that child? "My little crumb." You know why? She only wanted a crumb of the Lord's blessing. And the Lord gave it to her. Now, what is that crumb of blessing that you want? Is it something that it is always the Lord's will to give? If it is, you're not going to get it unless you have this kind of faith. Is that crumb of blessing something that sometimes it's the Lord's will to give and sometimes it isn't? If it is the Lord's will to give that crumb of blessing, you're not going to get it unless you have this kind of faith. Now, perhaps you're here this morning and you say, "But preacher, I don't have that kind of faith." Well, I got good news for you. Do you like good news? Do you? All right. You're wide awake now. You're listening. You don't want to miss this good news. If you don't have that kind of faith, if you ask the Lord Jesus to give it to you, He'll answer your prayer. He'll give you that kind of faith so you can have that crumb of blessing you want so much from the Lord. All you have to do is to repent before the Lord that you don't have this kind of faith. Say, "Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me." Ask Him to give it to you. He'll give it to you so that you can have that crumb of blessing you want so much from the Lord. Isn't the Lord good? Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Perhaps you're here this morning and you say, "Preacher, there is a crumb of blessing that I want from the Lord Jesus. But I don't have that kind of faith, not kind of faith that Syrophoenician woman had. And I want to repent of that right now and ask the Lord to forgive me. And ask the Lord to give me that kind of faith so I can have that crumb of blessing that I want so much from the Lord." If that's your desire, with no one looking around, please, would you just slip your hand up and take it down? Yes, I see these hands here. I see the, oh yes, many over there. Yes, I were there. I see them back there. Yes. Any others? Quickly. Yes, I see them back there. Over here, I see them. Yes, 2, 3, 4. Yes, I see it here. I see those hands there. Any others? Quickly. Yes, thank you. I see it. Yes, thank you. I see these hands here. Yes, over there, I see those two. Any others? Quickly. Yes, thank you. I see those two. Anyone else? Quickly. Now, let's just have a few moments of silent prayer. Many hands have been raised. I want you to talk to your Savior. Talk to Jesus. I want you to tell Him you don't have the kind of faith that Syrophoenician woman had. You're sorry. Ask Him to forgive you for it. And then ask Him to give it to you. He will answer your prayer. He will give it to you. And then you can have that crumb of blessing. that you want so much from the Lord. Now let's just take a few moments of silence. Just make that known to the Lord right now, and then I'll close this part of our service with prayer. Do it now, please. Father, we want to thank you for the privilege again of being at this camp. We want to thank you for your word and for the Holy Spirit applying it to our hearts. Lord, many people have just spoken to you. You've heard each one. You know what each one said. And Lord, you've forgiven these folk for not having this kind of faith. And you will give them the kind of faith they need to have that crumb of blessing they want so much from the Lord. If it's something it's always your will to give, we'll know that they'll get it. If it's something that sometimes it's your will to give and sometimes not, if it happens to be your will to give it on this occasion, they will get that. And Lord, we look forward to the future when ones who made decisions this morning will be able to stand up and testify how they received that crumb of blessing that they wanted so much from you as a result of the decision they made this morning. Again, Father, we ask if someone is struggling, help that person to make that decision before this service is over or even before this day is over. And we'll thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.